Hello and welcome to your Moment of Who. This is Casey.
This is Sue.
And we are discussing the final three episodes of Doctor Who.
We should say of Series 8, not of all of Doctor Who.
Okay.
In the Forest of the Night, Dark Water, and Death in Heaven. Standard spiel applies. Reactions. We've only watched each episode one time. Our opinions, yada, yada, yada. Spoilers.
That seems pretty basic.
Yep.
Where ya? Spoilers.
What?
These books are from your future. You don't want to read ahead, spoil all the surprises. Not peeking at the end.
Isn't travelling with you one big spoiler?
I try to keep you away from major plot developments. Which, to be honest, I seem to be very bad at.
Okay, so, in the Forest of Whatever. I always forget the title because, I don't know.
Because it's long. In the Forest of the Night.
Doesn't even take place at night.
Nope.
That's a
lie. But it came up overnight. It grew overnight.
I don't care.
Anyway. Ready, go.
It was fine.
Okay. I kind of like this episode. I liked Maeve, which I think is a cool name to begin with.
I do, too. I really like Maeve.
And I like that the doctor is kind of like, no, you have to listen to children and listen to what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that the trees take care of the earth. I like that the class is having a sleepover in the museum, even though it doesn't make much sense that just Clara and Danny are leading a group of kids who are apparently not smart, but they tell them they're smart. I don't know. I didn't really get that part.
Yeah, but as someone who was in the GT program, hearing Clara say, you know, they're not really gifted and talented. I just tell them to make them feel better. I'm like, you're a horrible teacher.
Yeah, right?
You're the worst.
They're just random kids they picked. Or, I don't know. But they turned out to be pretty smart kids.
Yeah.
Actually, at the beginning, I thought that was going to be part of it. When they were all surprised that, like, these kids suddenly had manners and were understanding and being smart.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to be part of the plot, like whatever they were dealing with also affected these children. And I have to say I'm glad it wasn't, because I think that would have made me angry.
Me too.
Instead, it's more like the teachers are not paying attention to what the children are actually interested in. Mm-hmm. And when they do, the kids show that they're interested in it, and that is much more the thing.
Yeah, and the kids are really perceptive. Yeah. I mean, you've seen it throughout the entire 8th series, which basically is shown where everyone knew that Danny and Clara were dating.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite bits in the episode was Danny and Clara are fighting, and one of the kids turns to the other and says, I thought you said they were in love. And the girl says, they are in love. That's what people who are in love do. Don't you know anything? Also, that same kid, I keep forgetting her name. She's the cute little red-haired kid you see in a flashback in Danny's class, and you see this on Tumblr all the time, which is Danny saying, okay, how do we find the X? And she says, you don't have to find the X, it's right there. He's just like, that's not what I mean, let's look for X. And she's like, you don't have to look for it, it's right there at the top of the triangle. Yeah, I think the kids were my favorite part of the episode. I think I liked the latter half more than I did the first half. I liked knowing that Maeve had a connection to the trees and the earth.
I mean, I think this has the same kind of science-y issues that Kill the Moon probably did.
Yes.
But for me, I am not as familiar with them. Mm-hmm. So they annoyed me less. And I mean, that's how it works. The more you know about a subject, the more inaccuracies will bother you.
Right.
But, like, things like, if the solar flare was really that big, wouldn't the trees catch on fire? How could they produce that much oxygen overnight? Et cetera, et cetera. but the concept of the trees and the whatever alien things, were they even named? I don't remember. Those things being there to protect the Earth was kind of, I liked that.
Well, yeah. Like, compared to Kill the Moon, I think In the Forest of Night is more positive, and I think that's why I liked it more. I mean, it's not my favorite episode, but it's, you know, it left me feeling good, and, you know, all of a sudden the Doctor is a fan of Earth again. He's just like, this is my planet too. I breathe your air, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, didn't you just say that it wasn't your planet a couple of episodes? Alrighty. Yeah.
The Doctor is very inconsistent this series.
Yeah.
I really don't have much else to say about this episode. It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
Moving on.
That's one of our shortest reviews for an episode. Fine.
There was nothing glaringly wrong with it, I don't think, and nothing super amazing about it either.
Correct.
All right. So, seeing as Dark Water and Death in Heaven are one story, you want to talk about those as one or two episodes?
It doesn't matter, really. Because I'm so mixed about both of them.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to talk about is, I mean, what everybody was talking about for the entire series, and that is Missy. And the reveal that, well, can we even call it a reveal, that she is the Master.
I called that, just like
everyone else.
Yeah, everyone else did.
Here's the thing about this for me. I kind of like that she is the Master. I like that the Master regenerated into a woman. And I kind of like how the actress played Missy as the Master, especially the more crazy scenes in Death in Heaven. I liked it. I like this character. I kind of want to cosplay it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it would also double as Mary Poppins cosplay as well, with the hat, especially.
What bugs me about the whole thing is that Moffat and other Doctor Who spokespeople denied it from the beginning. No, she's not the Master. No, 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 she's not the Master. Over and over and over again. And it's the lying. It's the lying from the creative team that annoys me. You don't have to say anything. You could be like the people who work for The Walking Dead. There is an after show after every episode where they have on people who write the episodes, and they just don't say anything. If they're asked a yes or no question, they say maybe. That's all you have to do. Just stop lying.
Yeah. I'm really bugged with the lying that occurs not only in Doctor Who, but it happened with the last Star Trek movie. And Moffat, in particular, is famous for negating anything that could happen in the upcoming series of either Doctor Who or Sherlock. It's gotten to the point where it's a meme that Moffat lies. It's like, rule one, Moffat lies. And that really bothers me. I do like that Missy was the Master. I do like that we had a Time Lady for the first time in a while. I do wish for an original Time Lady character, especially because we haven't had one of those in a while. I actually felt much better about Missy when you dedicate a whole episode to her rather than snippets and bits. Here's the thing. I think the snippets and bits that you get throughout Series 8 kind of spoiled the fun and terror of what she is in these last two episodes. It's too much, in my personal opinion. Also, I got a really, of course, if you watch Sherlock, you can see a lot of Moriarty in the mistress, Master, whatever you want to call her. And also, I kind of, the one thing I have that's a problem with Missy is that I love crazy characters who revel in their crazy. She says twice, I'm bananas. I'm just going to do this. But I do miss the whole point, the whole Master story arc when Johnson played him where there was something driving him crazy as well, which was the drumming in his brain. Mm-hmm. And having a full character write that rather than something that was scary, but also a little two-dimensional.
Yeah, the whole idea, I guess, that what's driving her is that she wants to be friends with the doctor again doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
They barely even spent any time in the two episodes together. I think that's what bothers me the most, is that you get exposition from... It could have been Missy. She could have been trying to spend more time with the doctor, and the doctor could have been trying to spend more time with her, rather than, you know, using Dr. Chung and also Sebastian, mm-hmm. that talked to Danny. I feel like there were lost opportunities to really utilize Michelle Gomez's talents, because she does bring the character to life. It's not the writing, it's her. In my personal opinion. Allegedly.
Allegedly? That's her
Allegedly.
Opinion.
Under the First Amendment of whatever. Anything Kathy Griffin says.
Seb annoyed me. I didn't fully understand his purpose.
I didn't either. He didn't need to be there. He's a good actor, but he didn't need to be there.
And the whole, like, permission to squee... was he supposed to be a fan stand-in?
I don't know, but I hate it.
Because I was wondering that, especially during that permission to squee business. But the character that everybody feels has been a fan stand-in, Osgood,
mm-hmm.
killed for apparently no reason.
Yes.
Like, is that on purpose?
Okay, so...
Like, are they trying to make us angry and kill off the characters that represent the fans of the show? Is that intentional? Or am I reading too much into that?
I don't know. There is an article that kind of discusses that and asks those questions rather than answers them. But I am going to give Moffat some credit for killing Osgood. Okay? So...
You think it was a good thing?
In a way. Because you know how usually when Moffat kills somebody... they come back,
yeah.
Or he just kills somebody that is just introduced in one episode.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced Osgood in the 50th anniversary, and everyone really grew to like her. And then when she returns, everyone gets excited again, and then she's off, and everyone is heartbroken. And in a way, I was angry at first, but then I thought, wait, he actually killed somebody. And they might not come back. Good on you, Moffat. It's like you're growing. You pulled a Whedon. Yay. Because I didn't really see Osgood's death coming. I really didn't. In a way, I'm proud, but then I'm also thinking, oh, crap. I wonder if it's Zygon Osgood or the other one. He could still find a way to bring her back. Crap.
Yeah, we never did figure out how they got out of that room with the Zygons.
I don't know.
But I assume since Kate was also there that it's not an issue anymore.
Exactly.
I was quite pleased when Unit arrived.
I was too. I like Unit. I also like Kate. I liked that. And I liked the Brigadier being one of the Cybermen and saving his daughter.
That doesn't sit right with me.
I know. I think I'm coming at it from more of an emotional writing moment thing, which Moffat is good at. Moffat is really good at moments. I think we can all agree on
yeah,
that.
I can understand why people like it,
mm-hmm.
but the idea just of the Brigadier becoming a Cyberman, it makes me feel squidgy, and I don't like it.
Yeah,
and that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I like the moment. More so than the plot holes that are there. There
it's
are
very sweet that
yeah.
he didn't burn himself and saved his daughter. And like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
You see, the thing that weirds me out about that is there are glaring plot holes in this episode. Mm. For example, we're going to go back to Osgood's death.
We basically skipped right over Darkwater and went into Death in Heaven.
We'll come back to that. So, Missy says, come here, I have a secret. I got something to tell you. The doctor's going to be really impressed. And so Osgood, humoring Missy, comes over and Missy says, I'm going to kill you. And Osgood says out loud, why would you kill me? And Missy says, because I'm bananas. There are two officers of UNIT standing right behind her, mm-hmm. as well as Osgood. No one runs. No one makes a call. No one is paying attention to Missy's hands.
Nope.
And that's sloppy. That's really sloppy for the sake of a moment. It's a good moment, but it doesn't excuse sloppy writing. And this is probably more direction. But Danny is killed in the beginning of Darkwater by a car because he's standing in the middle of the road while talking to Clara. Mm-hmm. And someone says, the car just came out of nowhere. No, it didn't. He was standing in the middle of the street. And then you cut to Clara looking on at the memorial, and it pans out, and she's standing right in the middle of the f***ing street. Mm-hmm. That is just sloppy. I'm sorry.
See, so yeah, that part I thought was intentional.
Like it's
like it's her not wanting to go on or saying it can happen to me too.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Not if she's already planning to bring him back in some way.
Right.
Because the Doctor is the master time traveler. And the way she talks about it to her grandmother, she says it's boring. That his death was boring. And I'm like, okay, shock. I get that. But you were standing in the middle of the street. Mm. And so was he.
I did like the concept of the actual Darkwater.
I like the concept of that, yeah.
Although the fact that it was Cybermen, you know, was not really surprising, I don't think.
No.
You know, their little eye shape was everywhere. And let's be honest, they have been in all the promo stuff for the series, so you knew they were coming.
Yes. Also, what happened? I knew, like, obviously it was supposed to be a robot arc, but it was just all leading up to the Cybermen? Really?
Right, and I guess the whole the Doctor doesn't like soldiers thing was there because Missy was going to put him in command of the Cyberman army? So it would be ironic? Like, is that the reason the Doctor suddenly didn't like soldiers?
Those questions were not answered!
I don't understand.
I don't either. I did like, again, moment, I did like going off the deep end and throwing TARDIS keys into dream lava, because that's what it was. It was a dream state.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jenna Coleman's acting was really strong in this episode, two episodes. I think
the character had better moments, too, in these two episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Danny had good moments as well. And the Doctor, I'm going to say that this is the most consistent he's been in terms of character all season.
You mean in these two consecutive episodes?
Beginning Forest of Night.
Okay. Well, I think we are jumping all over the place, but I'm going to say it anyway because it came to mind. I'm still confused about Danny and Clara's relationship because the end of Death in Heaven gives us some context for how much time has passed because they're coming up on Christmas. And if they met at the beginning of mm-hmm. the school year and they're coming up on Christmas, the I love yous and the devastation and the we were supposed to be together forever stuff happened pretty quickly. Even if it's supposed to be December in the universe, that's 4 months.
Yeah. Okay, I'm also going to call on Moffat because he writes in Death in Heaven. They turn off Danny's Cyberman emotional inhibitor chip or turn on. And the Doctor goes into this speech about how Danny is going to overcome this Cyberman thing because love isn't an emotion. It's a promise.
So ridiculous.
It is. I told that to Kevin the other day because he hasn't really been watching the series because law school.
Uh-huh.
And he rolled his eyes so hard and then said, that is a cop-out.
Oh, it totally is.
Is what he said. Yeah.
Because the programming can't overcome a promise either.
The perfect analogy he came up for it was, no, your bullet didn't hit me because I'm wearing super magic armor. Nuh-uh, yuh-huh. When you're a kid.
If it's such a promise and he would never hurt her, why is he begging her to turn off his emotions? He should know that if they turn off his emotions, he's just going to become a killing machine. And like the doctor says, we'll just kill her. He should be asking her to kill him.
Yeah.
That's the logical thing. And he's a soldier. Like, you understand that. It's like the same thing as a zombie apocalypse. If you start to turn, your best friend should be stabbing you in the head.
Or shooting you in the head.
Right.
Or decapitating you.
Somehow severing the connection of your brainstem.
Correct. That is what real friends do.
Yes. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, the reason they give is so that Danny can connect to the Cyberman hive mind, and I guess while he's booting up, he's able to give the doctor the information he needs, but that doesn't make any sense either. Whatever. Also, can we discuss the Missy kiss? Because I feel like that wasn't necessary at all.
Well, I mean, first she kisses him, which he is clearly not cool with, which is, like, the same thing of the unwanted touching.
Yes.
And then he kisses her, although she's into it. But still, just like, can we stop? Can we stop with all of the kissing that's unnecessary?
It's like, you know, the word friend does not have to constitute kissing.
Mm-mm.
Now that you're a female.
Nope. That's,
you don't have to have a boyfriend, Missy. You don't have to. So.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I have questions.
Well, Moffat's very good at raising them. Even when he doesn't mean to.
If the Cybermen can just fly into the cyber clouds filled with cyber pollen, come on, and light themselves on fire and burn away the cyber clouds, why can't they just shoot the clouds with flamethrowers? Why do the Cybermen have to sacrifice themselves? I guess you'd then have to deal with zombie Cybermen that you have to figure out how to handle.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, also, we've met the Brigadier after all the other Cybermen are gone. So what happened to Brigadier Cyberman?
I guess now he flies around the world looking for people to save. And he's the new superhero. Cyberman!
Also, what happened to the kid Danny saved? Did Clara actually find the parents? Is she raising this kid as her own? Is he now in the, like, orphanage system? What happened there?
Well, Danny said, try to look for these kids' parents. And it's like, those parents are going to freak out.
Yeah, also, it was several years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's creepy. That's weird.
That's really creepy. Also, the whole, you can feel things after you die, such as being cremated. That bothered me.
Yeah, that's upsetting. Also upsetting was Danny's face under his cyber mask.
Yeah.
Not only is it this dead zombie face, it's got, like, Cyberman implants in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, worse than Borg makeup.
Yeah. I don't know. I get upset with the whole, oh, you can feel cold because your dead body is feeling cold. And a part of me is like, okay, so your mind or your soul or whatever you want to call it is now in the nether sphere, so-called nether sphere. But does that mean your nerve endings are still active? Because I don't think they are after you die.
No.
Because the thing that keeps you alive is your brain. So why are you feeling the chill of the morgue freezer, which, by the way, he was not in. He was just covered with a sheet.
Yeah.
Sloppy writing. It just doesn't make any sense. Again, if it's a zombie, you shoot it in the head because that's the reason why it's still alive. It's telling the nerve endings, go, 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 get brains, get things. So basically, Cybermen are zombies now.
Yeah.
Is what...
Which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. So, what else? Is there anything else about these past two?
I don't know.
These last two episodes?
In 100% truthfulness, as a whole, I'm not really sure how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they killed Missy / the Master again.
That never lasts long.
Yeah, is she really dead this time? Nobody picked up a ring, so I don't know. Yeah. So here's the thing. For some reason, the Doctor believes her when she says she knows where Gallifrey is. He goes there. It's not there. And then he goes into a rage. And then he goes to meet Clara 2 weeks late, apparently. And they both just basically lie to each other.
Yes.
That they're fine. And, like, they're... The whole relationship, this Doctor and Clara, is just all lies. They are constantly lying to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that it makes me uncomfortable. It's not a good relationship.
No.
And
it's not.
I like Clara. And I love Peter Capaldi, but I'm not sure if I like the 12th Doctor.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that I don't like the two of them together. I don't really know. But I'm left feeling like a little bit confused and a little bit uncomfortable with the interpersonal relationships of our main characters.
I don't know. When they called each other their friend and their best friends in these past two episodes, which, by the way, has not happened this entire season series... That when it does occur, I'm wondering where it came from.
Yeah, right? Especially when, like, two, three episodes ago, she was ready to never see him again.
Right.
And then she gives that speech
in
Death in Heaven. So I looked it up because I want to get it right. What she says, I would never give up on the Doctor because he's my best friend. He is the closest person to me in this whole world. He is the man I will always forgive, always trust, the one man I would never, ever lie to.
And then Danny almost shoots her.
And she's saying this to Danny, the person who, at the beginning of the last episode, she was going to give this big, heartfelt, lovey-dovey speech to. And now she's telling him that the Doctor is the closest person to her in the whole world. And no matter what he does to her, she's always going to forgive and trust him, and says she would never lie to him, but really they are constantly lying to each other.
Correct.
Like, this is not healthy. Their relationship is not a good one.
Yeah. Maybe that's Moffat trying to stick with the whole non-flirty thing to, like, a fault, where it's so antagonistic on both sides. But... it just comes off as not a good friendship.
No.
Not at all a good friendship. I mean, people have said on one of the threads in our Facebook page that lots of people are looking back to RTD with kind of rose-colored glasses without thinking about the faults. Look, I remember Love and Monsters. I'm not silly. Like, there were problems. However... the relationship between Donna and Ten, it was pretty good friendship. It was a pretty good relationship. It was well written. And there were, you know, squabbles there, but it didn't make... I was so uncomfortable watching the Clara 12th Doctor friendship because it just reminded me of all the, you know, toxic friendships that I had growing up.
Yeah. Okay, so... To say that there are not issues in any given television show is just to be ignoring them.
Yes.
Like, nobody is saying that there weren't problems. Love and Monsters, I happen to think, was cute. But that's fine.
Yeah, we can disagree. Whee!
Stephen Moffat has said over and over and over again that he wants to make the show darker.
Yes.
And he has had the characters say over and over again that the show is darker. It's been their darkest hour like 17 times in the last 3 years.
I was so bothered. Everyone is saying it's the darkest hour. And it's been dark for the last 3 years. I just think that I'm over it. I want to know what a grocery shopping trip is like at the end of a series. It's our darkest hour.
Yeah,
can't find the yogurt.
Words. There is nothing wrong with using a not perfect relationship to tell a story.
Like, true.
Not every relationship is perfect. I don't think there is a relationship that is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the relationships that we have seen have been not only not perfect, but problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Or toxic, the word you just said. Like, Clara and the Doctor is a harmful relationship. I see Jenny and Vastra as a really problematic, abusive relationship. I think also that Amy was really manipulative towards Rory. Those are my feelings. Other people may disagree. I know some people who love Amy Pond.
Yeah.
But I just, it's like nothing's ever happy anymore. Nothing is ever good on this show. And it's kind of sad and disappointing, you know?
And we're being told when it's good, when we see the opposite,
mm-hmm.
I feel. Because there are ways to write a toxic relationship and have it be really interesting to watch. Look, Breaking Bad had lots of toxic relationships in there. It was also written for adults, not for a family show. However, there are ways
to
go
over this.
Also, I'm going to repeat it for posterity. And you see it on Buffy. You've seen it on Angel. There are ways to write it. And in most of the shows that I watch, people put an end to the toxic relationship, or at least try to, but then they always find a way back together somehow, not by their own will. With Doctor Who, it's the complete opposite. You know, it's like they stick together no matter what because they're so dependent on each other.
Yeah.
The companion and the doctor. And with Moffat's companion and doctor, it's not a way that makes me feel good. It's not like with Tin, who made me feel good. It's like you're special. I want to show you these things. And even though you don't feel good about yourself, you really are a wonderful person just the way that you are. Whereas you have this doctor who tells a 15-year-old girl earlier this season that she's not special at all. And instead of telling her that she's special in her ordinariness, he says, "Why don't I take you to the moon?"
Do you feel special enough now? A lot of people don't like her, but that's why I have a lot of respect for Martha.
Yeah.
Even if I think Martha was done a disservice by the writing staff that season. Mm-hmm. See, look, problems with RTD era.
Yes.
But the great thing about her is that character was finally like, you know what, this is not what I want from this relationship, so I am leaving. Mm-hmm. And she leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's brought back at some point, but it's not the next episode. And she doesn't always forgive him. The doctor can be a real jerk sometimes. All of the doctors.
Yes.
But their companions and the people around them used to call them out on it.
Yes.
Or him. Or whatever. And Clara just goes along with it. She just lets it happen and forgives him. And keeps going.
That's the thing that I think that bothers me most about her character development this season is that she was starting to call him out on it earlier this season. Remember Into the Dalek?
Mm-hmm.
That awesome, awesome moment. And then also at the end of Kill the Moon where she is about to break up with him. And then all of a sudden you get this addicted to time travel subplot that's never really explored.
No.
I feel that's a fun storyline. Let's go with that. Remember when Willow was addicted to magic? It wasn't the best storyline, but it was fun to watch.
But I don't buy it because she's not with him all the time.
Exactly.
She goes, like, you could do it. You could have, like, a long-running companion, maybe in, like, a second or third season, who doesn't go back home or have a real job or whatever, be addicted to time travel, and that could be really cool.
Yeah, it would.
But it doesn't make sense for Clara. I think, again, we have the too many ideas problem.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
she's. I think that they're trying to make her into too many different people.
Yeah. So, as kind of a look back to this past season, were there any episodes that really stood out to you? Or even better, what do you think of the series as a whole now that it's done?
I don't know what I think of the series as a whole. I really don't. I might need a little more perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was, after the 50th anniversary, and maybe it's my own fault, I was expecting / hoping for something very different. Yeah, episodes that stood out to me, I really liked Time Heist.
Time Heist was fun. I really liked Time Heist. And I thought Robin of Sherwood was fun, or Robot of Sherwood.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a fun episode. It's like, hey, just like dinosaurs on a spaceship, here's what it says on the tin. This is what's happening. If you don't like it, you can just go away for this episode. And it had humor in it. There wasn't a lot of humor this season in Doctor Who.
Yes, that's true. I also liked Flatline. That was another one.
Flatline was good. I really liked Flatline.
Maybe I'm just sick of the dark.
You see, I'm okay with dark, but there's a way to balance dark. You need a little light to find your way through a season.
Hmm. I would say that In the Forest of the Night was kind of light.
It was light. It was fine.
It wasn't like Robot of Sherwood humory light, but it was... It left me feeling happy.
Yeah.
Darkwater and Death in Heaven, especially with some of what was put out there, just left me feeling kind of depressed and uncomfortable.
Yes.
And then the Santa Claus thing at the end.
That came out of nowhere. I mean, I love Nick Frost. I was so excited to hear that he was going to be in the Christmas special. But Santa Claus?
The funniest thing, I was actually just got back from Walt Disney World, where I was with my whole family, and I was talking to my brother about Doctor Who, and he was like, you know, the Doctor, they should do a whole series of specials or something, where the Doctor meets all of the other characters that people claim are Time Lords, like Mary Poppins and James Bond and Santa Claus. And then the Doctor meets Santa Claus, and it was just really funny. And I mean, you could say that he's met Mary Poppins now too, since it's apparently the Master.
No, I refuse to believe that the Master is Mary Poppins.
She used an umbrella to land in the graveyard.
No! Bad Moffat, no, no.
But yeah, it was definitely jarring. So, we'll see what that's about, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Santa Claus will be a robot too, like on Futurama.
I would love that. Although, if that were the case, they really should have gotten either John Goodman or John DiMaggio to play. So, I guess we'll see what happens in the Christmas special. You know, the rumor of Jenna Coleman being done with Doctor Who, I guess that question was kind of answered during the mid-credit clip with Santa, because Santa goes, you can't leave it like that. And I'm like, yeah, actually you can. If you really want to leave off with a companion, that's a really good spot.
Yeah, I mean, it felt a little awkward and forced, but that was like the characters were forcing it.
Yeah.
And for what we know of the two of them and their relationship, I mean, it makes sense that they would be leaving each other with lies. You know? Lies intended to protect the other one, too. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it certainly seems that Clara will be back for the Christmas episode, and then that will be the end. That's certainly the impression that I received from that little teaser.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. So, I don't know. I guess I would need more time to think on it, but Series 8, I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah, agreed. Overall, I'd give it maybe, what's a slightly better than passing grade? Like a C+?
C+, B-. And people say, and I kind of agree, that the first season with the new Doctor is always a little weird. It's always a little wonky. However, I still argue that the fifth season with Matt Smith was a good season. It was really well written, in my personal opinion. But I don't know, ever since then, it's not as tight as it was back then. Because Stephen Moffat had a plan going in, and now he's trying to pre-plan even before that, like, two series, like, from now. Which is crazy. It's nuts. You can't do that, Stephen Moffat.
Has he said that?
He hasn't said that, but the whole woman in the shop thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened in season 7B.
Yes.
So, he's pre-planning everything, and he pre-planned who River Song was.
Mm-hmm.
He's pre-planning too many things. It's too many ideas. Calm down, dude.
Well, he's trying to play a lot with time travel, which I think the idea of and the desire to do is excellent.
Yes.
I don't really understand the concept of Missy choosing Clara for the Doctor because Clara's a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that, and I don't understand why it was so important that Clara be with him when all of this went down. I don't get that aspect of it. Like, maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah.
But, and like, that's commendable. That's wanting to take a time travel show and put more of it in there, which can be really hard to do. So I understand it. Sort of like what happened the last season with Amy and Rory, how mm-hmm. you noticed that their story was taking place out of order.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was good and cute, but when you make it too long, sort of like this Missy thing, when you drag it out over 12 episodes, it becomes annoying.
There's a falseness to it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. There are some people who can plan ahead very well, and there are some people who can't, and they have to figure it out as they go. And I'm starting to think that maybe Stephen Moffat is biting off more than he can chew.
I think he has too many ideas. I really do.
Yeah, and he's trying to get all of them down as fast as he possibly can, and it's becoming very disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
He may have an editing problem. I say that about a lot of people, especially Peter Jackson.
And you know what, though? I feel right now, sort of about Dark Water and Death in Heaven together, the same way I did immediately following the Christmas special. Now we've just established that I hate the Christmas special. but my immediate reaction to it was just confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a little jumbled. It was a bit hard to follow. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Like, it might take some time. It might take a couple rewatches. It might take the Christmas special and some resolution. It also feels unresolved. And I could handle mm-hmm. the Doctor and Clara's relationship being unresolved, but the series as a whole feels unresolved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be interested, post-Christmas special, like Series 9, assuming that Clara leaves, seeing what a companion written specifically for Capaldi would be like.
I think that would be really cool to see. Yeah. I'd really like to see that, actually. Yeah. Again, I want to see somebody from a different time period or a different
planet.
We came this close to having a Victorian Clara. So close!
I would also love to see the Doctor go and search for Gallifrey. I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again.
Yeah!
I would love to see the search for Gallifrey. I would love to meet the Ronnie again in New Who.
Yes.
I would love to get back to exploring different cultures.
Yes.
And for me, that's some of the most interesting stuff.
You can play around with a world instead of playing inside this very lonely concept. You can combine concept and setting. Did you know this? Did you know that's a major part of a lot of storytelling?
What about a trip back to Pompeii to find out why the Doctor has this face?
I think they have discussed going back to that.
Well, he mentioned something, I think it's in the very first episode, about, like, the face being familiar.
Yes.
And the rumor, if you can even call it that, is that Russell T. Davies came up with an explanation for why the Doctor has this face and called Stephen Moffat and, like, offered it to him and said, if you do it, here's an answer.
Nice.
So I'd love to see it. I'd love to know what it is. If you're not going to do it, just tell me what it is.
Agreed.
You know?
I don't know. There were a lot of bumps along the road in this series. I think I wouldn't have had as much of a problem with it if it had risen up to the potential that we were led to believe it would have.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
And that comes back to the creative team. Because I don't want to pin it all on Moffat. It's been others as well.
Right,
but
it
comes back to the writers and the creative team telling us specifically certain things and them just lying about it.
Yes.
It's rough. It's hard. And you're basically messing with your fans. And that's not cool. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think I'm out of things to share.
I think I am too. So listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this crazy ride that has been us reacting to Series 8. We hope that you enjoyed some bits of it, at least. I hope we provided entertainment, at the very least.
If you disagree with us, tell us so. Open discussion time.
Yeah,
tell us what you think. Tell us if we're wrong, if we're right, what you're looking forward to, what you're hoping, anything. Let's talk about Doctor Who.
We like doing that. That's why we have this show.
Clearly. And Meds will tell you exactly how to get a hold of us in the closing spiel. I did check the email before the episode. We did not receive any emails this time.
Boo.
I didn't just forget about it.
Well, I guess that's the end for now.
Yep.
Hey, Sue.
What?
Say something nice.
You win.
Well, this is Casey.
This is Sue.
And this has been your Moment of Who.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z. @gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-4335. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Say that three times fast.
Joe actually said to me, like, I want to find out that Missy isn't actually the most recent incarnation of the Master, but that she's out of time, like they're meeting out of order. And she's somewhere between, like, Roger Delgado and John Sim.
I love it!